And good evening. If you're just now joining us, we want to welcome you and say good evening to this virtual public meeting. We'll get started in just another minute as attendees continue to enter the virtual space. Thanks, everyone.
I'd also like to state that we will have interpreters here for our webinar. This is the second of two today. And this will include signed American Sign Language interpreters, as well as Native American language interpreters. And if you'd like to switch to those channels, you'll be able to select the globe in the Zoom icon at the lower center right of your screen. And Kaliko, if you want to provide those instructions in Hawaiian, that would be great.
Aloha nui noho I nā kānaka e ho'olohe mai ana I keia aha I keia pō ma ka keleka'a ike noho I. I nā paha o kō I makemake ana e ho'olohe I ka olelo Hawaii, no keia hanana a Pauloa, wa hiki noho I a o kō ke kāmi ma ke pihi o ka honua, ma lalo ma ka papakoho, ma loko o Zoom, a hiki a o kō ke koho I ka olelo Hawaii, a lohe I a noho I kuuleo e olelo ana I nā mea a pau ma ka olelo Hawaii.
Thank you, and aloha, welcome all. And because we are recording and providing sign interpretation and Hawaiian interpretation, we would ask all of our panelists and presenters and those in the public that will have an opportunity to give their comments tonight to speak clearly and perhaps a bit slower for this evening's webinar. My name is Scott Kyler. I'll be facilitating the Hunopilani Highway Improvements Environmental Impact Statement meeting tonight. On behalf of the Hawaii Department of Transportation and the Federal Highway Administration, we welcome you to this, the second of two webinars today, to hear from you about the West Maui Highway 30 planned improvements. Now let's take a look at the agenda. For tonight's meeting, we'd like to go over some general procedures on your participation. We'll be hearing from our panelists, including introductions of the project team, providing the purpose of the meeting, the project overview, and its timeline geared towards construction in 2025. We'll hear an EIS overview where we would really like to focus your comments and hear from you about the project purpose and need, the environmental impact statement technical studies, and the alternatives being considered. And above all, we're here to hear your comments tonight and to provide answers where we can. Now on to the meeting procedures. We've mentioned this is an actively facilitated webinar. It is being recorded. And to help us all, please reduce background noise when you do raise your virtual hand and you're called upon in the second half of the meeting to come off of mute and make your comments. Again, you'll find that virtual hand raising in your Zoom toolbar. Please be respectful and courteous of people of various views and individual comments. We welcome all. We will be taking comments in the order that they are presented in terms of the raised hand function. You may also use the Q&A box if you prefer to submit your comments that way. We're asking for compliance with the 3-minute time frame, and certainly we may have some more time given their ability to answer questions and get to all attending who would wish to comment. Again, this is important to our project team and the panelists. We're here to hear from you. Next, I'd like to hand it over to Robin Shishido, the Deputy Director of Highways, Hawaii Department of Transportation. Robin?
All right, thank you, Scott. Good evening, everybody, and thank you again for attending the meeting. I'll do a quick introduction of our project team. We have Ed Sniffen, who's our recently appointed Director for Hawaii Department of Transportation. Again, I'm Robin Shishido, the Deputy Director for the Highways Division. We have Annette Matsuda, the acting Maui district engineer. And from our planning branch, we have Genevieve Sullivan, who's the project manager. We have Pua Ayu, who's our cultural resource specialist, Ken Tatsuguchi, who's our program manager for planning branch. And we have Brian Tiao and Dean Matsui, who also with the planning branch to do preliminary engineering. From our Federal Highway Administration partners, we have Rochelle Takara, the division administrator, Lisa Powell, the project manager. And from our WSP consultant team, we have Wayne Yoshioka, Dexter Edgy, Peter Leibowitz, Matthew Small, Scott Keeler, Nick Fazio, and Melissa Len. Next slide, please. So the purpose of this scoping meeting is just to explain the project and explain where we're at in the environmental impact statement process. And most importantly is to gather information from everybody that will help the project team make decisions as we move forward. You know, specifically, we're looking forward for your input on comments on some core elements, which includes the purpose and need, the alternatives considered, the screening criteria for the best alternative, and the topics to be studied. Next slide, please. So specifically, again, this project is intended to address the existing and the future coastal erosions on Honopiolani Highway between milepost 11 to milepost 17. This is a project overview map kind of showing the boundaries I just mentioned. And we also have a project website, and we encourage all of you to take a look at the site. There's a lot of information on there, a lot of documents and backgrounds, and you can also provide comments through the website. Next slide, please. So why this project? Anyone who lives on Maui and drives the road knows that over the past 10 years, we've had multiple repairs needing to be done after storm events and king tides and high waves. Currently, we have a project to address one of the more critical areas to just shift the roadway within the existing right-of-way. We performed some studies in 2019 and 2021 to look at Honopiolani Highway, and the result came out as a real high priority within the state. We also received funding from a RAISE grant about a year ago, you know, thanks to our congressional delegation, community members, bidders of industry, Federal Highways of Maui County. We got a lot of support, and with that, we were able to get that $22 million grant. And also from Senator Schaaf's office, he helped to give us an earmarked funding for this project of $23 million. Next slide, please. So right now, in the overall timeline of the project, we finished our early scoping, and we're just at the beginning of the environmental impact statement preparation. With that, I'll turn it over to project manager Genevieve Sullivan, and she can provide more details on the process.
Okay, thanks, Robin. So this part of the presentation is to explain the environmental review process that we are currently in. There are a lot of steps that we have to go through, so thanks in advance for your patience. And also, we had a meeting earlier, and I have to go through this slower, so I'll do my best to slow down. Our project is using both federal and state funds, which means that we follow the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, federal regulations, as well as our state environmental review law, the Hawaii Environmental Policy Act, HEPA. This past year, we've been in the pre-NEPA scoping period, which means that we're meeting with community members, stakeholders, and agencies to research and gather information that we compiled and recently published in the NEPA Notice of Intent and the HEPA Environmental Impact Statement Preparation Notice, shown on this slide as NOI and EISPN. The publication of these documents starts the official environmental review process and this public comment period that we are in now, which ends on December 31st. In about a year, we'll publish the draft EIS, and the final EIS will be published in June 2024 so that we can meet the deadlines that are stipulated in our RAISE grant award. Oops, I think we're on the wrong slide. Okay, next slide, please. So this is an even, next slide, please. This is an even more detailed overview of the EIS process. As you can see on this graphic, we had two virtual town hall meetings in February where we received a lot of helpful comments that were incorporated in the NOI and the EISPN. And now we're asking for your input on those documents. And that just means that the comments that we gather today and the response to those comments will be incorporated in the draft EIS. The draft EIS will also include the completed environmental studies and a preferred alternative, at which time there is another 45-day comment period and a public meeting. And please note that in addition to this prescribed EIS framework, our project team is available to discuss this project and take comments at any time. We can do smaller group meetings, and we encourage you to go to our project website for updates and to leave comments. Next slide, please. This slide has all of the anticipated project permits. As you can see, there are many. Our initial take is that there are likely to be 20 or more county, state, and federal agencies that have some level of permitting and approval to implement this project. The list also informs the agencies we invited to be cooperating and participating agencies. Next slide, please. So, lead cooperating and participating agencies. FHWA and HDOT, as the lead agencies, sent out letters to other sister agencies requesting that they be cooperating and/or participating agencies. The difference being that a cooperating agency has direct jurisdiction for this project. They all have important roles, and the aim is that we share information and studies, do site visits together, and meet often. Participating agencies are broader. They have a broader interest in the project, and they help identify issues of concern and make sure the information is shared. And all of this is laid out in further detail on our website in the coordination plan. Next slide, please. Developing a purpose and need statement is another NEPA requirement. And the intent here is to have a measurable statement that explains why we are doing this project and what we are trying to prevent from happening. So our primary project purpose is to provide a reliable transportation facility and to improve the highway's resilience by reducing its vulnerability to coastal hazards. Specifically, the project is intended to address existing coastal erosion and flooding and anticipated sea level rise. The sea level rise exposure area, or SLREXA, we use is defined by the Hawaii Climate Change Commission. Next slide, please. And the purpose of our project was developed on this need, which is that the highway is vulnerable to coastal hazards. This is pretty apparent. And once again, we know this because of all of the public input we've received, the emergency repair projects that continue to happen, and our vulnerability studies. Next slide, please. Other objectives that came out of our early consultation process are provide regional transportation system linkages. So the aim of our project is to link up with the existing Lahaina bypass to the north and be consistent with the recent road and highway improvements that have occurred over the last decade. We also want to make sure that we're conforming with regional plans. There are some great Maui County plans, such as the West Maui Community Plan update of 2022, the Pali to Pu'amana Parkway Master Plan, which we used to identify our alternatives, and the MPO's Hele Mai Maui Long Range Transportation Plan that we want our project to support and align with. Next slide, please. So there will be technical studies that are done for many of the topics on this slide. For example, we'll be doing flora and fauna studies, a wetland delineation report, looking at threatened and endangered species, as well as archaeological studies. As we understand, there are many important environmental and cultural resources in the area. As you review this list, we want to remind you that scoping is an opportunity for you to confirm that we have the right topics here and to suggest additional areas of evaluation. Next slide, please. And finally, I want to highlight this MetroQuest poll that is available. It's a handy tool that we hope makes it easy to submit comments. It has tabs for everything that we just went over, the purpose and needs statement, the project objectives, the EIS topics, and these markers at the top that say environmental, cultural resources, safety, bike ped. You can drag and drop onto the project map to leave comments. You can leave them in a specific location, and we hope that you'll use this tool to review the proposed alternatives and our proposed alternative screening methodology as well. Okay, so thanks for sticking with me through that. And now back to Robin to go through the alternatives.
So again, these are some of the preliminary range of alternatives that will be evaluated in the EIS. Also included will be the no build alternative. I'll talk a little more detail in the future slides, upcoming slides about it. But when looking at these alternatives, some of the questions we ask is, you know, does the alignment reduce the exposure to the sea level rise exposure area and ocean hazards? Does the alternative meet the current design standards? Is alternative financially viable, and is it feasible with the funding streams that we have? You know, are the environmental impacts mitigated? And lastly, does alternative have sufficient right-of-way, or what's the footprint of the right-of-way? Next slide, please. So here's the alternative screening methodology. It's a two-step screening process. First step is, does alternative meet the purpose and need? And step two, which alternative provides the best balance of project goals and environmental considerations? We asked everyone, you know, take a look at the notice of intent that was published in the Federal Register. It has a lot of information in there that will help with the screening process. Next slide, please. So alternative one, again, was adopted from the county's Palitumua-Puamana master plan. And this is the coastal or the Makai concept with some modifications. One of the key elements of this alternative is to maximize the existing highways right-of-way. You can see through Laniapoku and portion of Oluwalu, it generally follows the existing roadway. In the Oluwalu section, it does go a little further inland behind the Kapaiki neighborhood, also to avoid some cultural resources that were identified. It does require some acquisition of private property. As the alignment heads towards Ukimehame, it stays primarily within government-owned property. And, you know, this property was already set aside for future the roadway. And so this alignment generally represents the furthest inland to avoid the sea level rise exposure area while remaining within the government properties that I just mentioned. Next slide, please. So again, alternative two was also adapted from the Palitumua-Puamana Parkway Master Plan. And this is the middle concept. So again, we remain close to existing alignment throughout Laniapoku. In Oluwalu, again, we went further Mauka to avoid the Kapaiki neighborhood. And similar to alternative one, we will require some acquisition of private property. In Ukimehame area, it follows closer to the existing highway while staying mostly in government and government-owned property. But it still, in some areas, is within the sea level rise area that will be mitigated by, you know, things like elevating the roadway. Next slide, please. Alternative three is the Mauka concept from the Palitumua-Puamana master plan. It's more or less identical to alternative two, except in Oluwalu, where it goes even further Mauka or inland in the Kapaiki neighborhood area. We adjusted the alignment in that area to be more cohesive with the subdivisions like greenland areas or identified greenland areas. However, as we move more toward more Mauka, you know, the terrain does get a little rougher and might be a little tougher to set the alignment in that area. Next slide, please. And lastly, we have here alternative four, which is the Mauka concept from the Palitumua-Puamana master plan. The alignment avoids the sea level rise area as much as possible. It tries to minimize bisecting the private properties in the Oluwalu area, so you don't create these remnant pieces of land after the highway goes through it. This alignment, it does get close to the petroglyphs that are in the Oluwalu area, so it does get nearer some of the historical sites. As we get towards Ukimehame, it does stay a little more Mauka and does go through or near the Ukimehame firing range. And with that, I'll turn it over back to you, Scott.
Thank you, Robin. I'm going to jump in here for a second. We're getting some notes that when you present, the slides go away, which is a bit bizarre. So what I'm going to do is ask any of our attendees to raise their virtual hand right now if they can see the slide. Okay. We're going to do looks like they can see the slides now, which is good. So if everybody could lower their hands real briefly. And then to our attendees, please raise your hand if you could see the slides with the alternatives. So it looks like we do have some members of the public that were able to see the alternatives without any problems. So Scott, why don't you go ahead and take it away? I'll continue to work with those that are having some technical issues. Though it might be a Zoom bug for some of our users at home, I'll continue to do my best. Thank you, Robin, for your patience, and take it away, Scott.
Thanks so much, Nick. It's important for us to do that troubleshooting if there's anything you can do in the background or in the chat, or if we have this information available on the website, it's shown here. I think the main point here is we have multiple ways for you to comment on this process. You can see in this particular timeline graphic on the lower of the colored banner, our NEPA scoping period is 30 days. It goes through the end of the month here. So it's important that you have access to information. It is shown below at www.hunopiolanihwyimprovements.com. So we want to make sure you have the information that you're well prepared to make your comments. And just note that regardless of whether those come in tonight via the question and answer box, via the raised hand, via *9 if you're dialing in on cell phone, or even in writing, they're all treated equally in that in another year, once the draft EIS is prepared, there'll be a 45-day EIS comment period. So multiple ways to comment. They're all listed here. We've featured the MetroQuest poll as a sort of a geolocation tool that hopefully is very useful for you. We've got all sorts of meeting announcements, contacts, and you certainly can leave your comments on the website as well. I think we're now at the point where we can go over how to comment on the next slide.
Yeah, Scott, I just also wanted to note that Nick put a link in the chat to the project fact sheet. And on that fact sheet, you can also find the alternatives there. If for those who didn't see it, if they want to click on that link, they can see the four different alternatives on that fact sheet.
Very helpful. Thank you, Melissa. So we'll just outline these again quickly. This is your time to provide comments. You can raise your virtual hand and we'll take those in the order received. Type a question in the actual Q&A box. And if you're on the phone, if you can, we'll just call out your last four digits and you'll be called upon. I did want to mention, I haven't mentioned yet, that if you're able to attend in person, that would be tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Lahaina Community Center. And that will be a recorded opportunity where you can come to the mic to give comments. We mentioned the website. And I think at this point, I'll just note that we'll start with raised hands. We can come around through any phone calls and the Q&A box periodically. So let's get started. Okay, the first one I have here, just had it. I think it was William. Yes, William, would you go ahead and take yourself off mute and provide your comments to the panel?
Yeah, aloha and good evening. My name is William Spence. I was the planning director for Maui County from between 2011 to mid 2018. This was an important project that we discussed with Director Sniffen back in, I think, 2013 or 2014. And so I'm very glad to see that it's getting off the ground. So thank you very much. One comment I have that has probably been touched on before, but it is the firing range. And I think each one of the alternatives should evaluate the impacts to the range. You have recreational users, that really there's only two legal ranges on the island. One of them is indoors, so it's impractical for hunters to sight in their rifles or people who like to shoot longer distances. And the indoor range just doesn't have the capacity. You have, like I said, hunters who want to sight in their rifles for hunting purposes, so they're safe. If they don't have a legal place to go, I think that's going to be a problem for the thousands of owners on this island. It's also a health and safety issue for the general public, because the police department, the National Guard, the Department of Public Safety, and I'm told that others also use it for training purposes. I can't begin to tell you how important it is for our police and our law enforcement community to be able to have a place to train and qualify and learn what they need to do to safely do their jobs. So that's pretty much what I got. I thank you for holding these meetings. I think it's a very important project. Thank you.
Thank you very much, William, for your comments. And in summary, I think it will be important to look at any areas of concern, the firing range, recreational use. You've mentioned hunting and even law enforcement practice at that site. So we will note that for the project team. Next, I'm going to ask Thierry, can you go ahead and take yourself off of mute? And we'll take your comments next.
Aloha. I wanted to ask you about alternative A, but actually all the alternatives, because it looks like where you come into Oluwalu town and it starts to head up Mauka towards behind Kapaiki village. Was there any consultation with Ohana Noho'i Kaika, one of the last remaining Hawaiian families that live right there? It looks like the highway would go right in back of their house, so if not on their house. Has there been any consultation with that family?
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate the comment, and I'm going to ask if anyone on the project team, maybe starting with Genevieve, do we have a record of that consultation regarding the alternatives, or is that in process?
I'm going to ask Pua to comment on this.
We consulted with the Ho'oi Kaikas, and we actually have their house site on our maps. So we are actively avoiding where we know they are, and I think they drew it on our maps as well. So we should be avoiding them, and if we're not, hopefully they'll tell us. But yes, we are aware of where they live, and we are working at avoiding their property.
Very, very good. I hope that helps to address your comment and concern. Are there additional? We have a hand raised. Aja.
Hi, this is Asia Iyer. I'm just wondering, you did bring up the Paliatapuamana plan and that it was used to identify the alternative routes. And for those listening, that was prepared in 2005 and it's on the county website. To what degree are you consulting with that? It's my understanding that there was a lot of public input given for that plan, and it's been there waiting to be enacted for many years. How are you using that? And then the other question is just, is there going to be another cultural site survey done before the EIS? I think the survey that we have on Oluwalu is not new, and more extensive cultural site surveys need to be done, archaeological surveys. So I guess those two questions: to what degree is the Paliatapuamana plan going to be utilized, and what's the plans for the archaeological surveys before the EIS?
Thank you. Genevieve, can you help field that one for us?
Sure.
Sure. So the Paliatupuʻamana was definitely sort of a starting point for this project. So I would say that it's heavily considered in all of the alternatives. A lot of them were then kind of tweaked based on the early consultation that we did with the community members. For example, going behind Kapaʻiki village. And then we also made sure that each of the alternatives were going to meet the ASHTO, which is the American Associate of State Highway Transportation Officials design standards. So those kind of, you know, roadway design standards. And then for the, I'd say the only alternative that is a little bit different is probably alternative four. It's still based on the most Malka concept of the Paliatupuʻamana Parkway plan, but then it did have more consideration of property ownership. And then the second part of your question, we have Aina Archaeology on board, and they are doing all of our archaeological studies for us.
Thank you, Genevieve. Thank you, Asia, for the questions. I hope that provides some answers for you. And I'm going to pause. I do not at this moment see a hand raised. We welcome your comments. And I can take a look, see if we have nothing open in the question and answers. Any dial-ins or others that you're noting, Nick, that I need to call on next? Okay, we have a hand raised. Asia, would like to follow up?
Sorry, one more question. Do these, when you guys do the EIS, is it going to address what will be done with the shoreline if the highway moves away? So if it moves Malka, is this talked about in the plan? Is there still going to be shoreline access or fishermen? Is there, you know, what's going to be done with the old road? How do you take that account in these plan and in that EIS?
Let's go ahead and have Robin respond if you can, or pass that along to the staff.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good question. So, you know, the existing roadway will remain open as we go throughout this process. You know, we'll look how it ties up with the new rail line road. So the coastal access will still be available.
And is the question on eventual disposition of any unused right-of-way as recreation, is that an outstanding question within or beyond the scope, Robin? Do we know what might happen next?
Yeah, so discussions, you know, we'll have with the county. You know, in previous administrations, there was talk about county taking over the roadway, since, you know, we'll have this. So it's still an ongoing item to address.
Thank you. Coming back to Tara, you have a hand up if you'd like to ask a follow-up question.
Yeah, Robin mentioned that the lower road will remain open, obviously, during that work. But in the EIS, will it verify if there's an intention to have that lower road removed?
Yeah, I'm going to need to call on you again, Robin. If the roadway isn't used, would it be removed?
Yeah, so this EIS is more adjusting the realignment, but going forward, the existing road will still remain. So it still will function. But again, you know, we'll have to talk to the county, discuss, you know, how we go about jurisdiction and things like that. Anything else you want to add, Genevieve?
Nope, you just added it. I was just going to say that the county is, you know, a major partner in this project. So that's discussions that we will be having with them. But the EIS, like the environmental impact statement, doesn't necessarily take into account what will happen with the existing road.
So that's another process beyond the alternatives and realignment that is a benefit from this engagement and the interaction with the county, Genevieve. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Excellent questions. Asia, you have another?
Yeah, is the EIS looking at a two-lane highway or four-lane or two-lane with the with the opportunity to expand into a four lane, or I mean, with the Lahaina bypass, it's already four lane. So just wondering, that's something I haven't been able to find on the website, what the width of the roadway is that you're seeking EIS for.
Yeah, so the roadway will be a two lane facility with the, in the future, we can expand to a four lane facility, similar to what the existing Lahaina bypass looks like.
Great string of clarifying questions. Take a pause, encourage you all to. Okay, Thierry, another question, please.
Was there any consideration for the, when you get past, right now, alternative A has you going above Ohananoi Kaika House or around in that area. Was there any consideration to continue that road and then veer off past Oluwalu Town up above Kapaiki?
Yes, I would say that all of our alternatives can be adjusted. So that would mean that it could be a combination of some of these alternatives. So that is something that we can note and make sure that we are addressing that in the draft EIS.
So through that exchange, I'm gathering that there may be a hybrid or a preferred alternative that looks a little different from what we're studying, but these are the main concepts. Is that correct, Genevieve?
That's right.
Good questions. Kai has a question. Go ahead and take yourself off mute and we'll give you the floor.
Hi. So I had trouble seeing your map while you were doing the presentation. When Genevieve could, or when she was doing the presentation, it was fine. It was when Robin was doing his presentation that the slides went into the small box up in the corner. And so anyway, I pulled it up off of your website, but I just wanted to confirm the alternatives that are being in the diagram there. So the section of road that you're talking about is between Ukumehame and Launiapoko?
That's correct.
Okay. I have a comment and a question about that. So through emergency proclamations, the shoreline was hardened at Ukumehame, and it resulted in extensive beach loss in the area. So how is that going to be addressed? And I have some additional follow-up questions, but I'd like to know that first.
Rob, can I call on you up for a response, Robin?
Yeah, so again, for this project, you know, we're looking at realignment of the roadway to address the sea level rise. Anything with the existing and, you know, what you brought up, that would be a different project that we'd look at separately.
Okay, but as part of the project, it seems that the loss of beaches due to shoreline hardening should be considered as far as, like, perhaps removing the hardened shoreline in those areas? Could that be looked at as part of the project?
Yes, we're considering all of the mitigation for the project as well. So that would be something that could be considered as a mitigation measure.
Okay, but you folks are aware of the areas that were, I would say, that it shouldn't have been, that an emergency proclamation shouldn't have been used to harden the shoreline in that area. And so I would definitely like that to be acknowledged by the DOT and some mitigation for the loss of those beaches. I would suggest removal of the shoreline hardening and to look at how we can encourage beaches to come back to those areas.
Hi, we do appreciate the comments, and I think we'll have the project team take them under consideration. Thanks so much.
And then I have an additional comment or question.
Please.
I know that our community is very, very concerned that where the alignment is proposed, that certain developers will be looking to use the infrastructure improvements that are made in the area to push forward development in Oluwalu. And so I want to know what measures are being taken to disallow development, Makai, of whatever alignment is eventually decided upon.
I do know that land use impacts will be part of the technical report. Any further response, Genevieve?
I would just say that, you know, I mentioned earlier that objective for this project is definitely to conform with the Maui County plans and, you know, the West Maui Community Plan. And there is a very articulated need to conserve that coastal area. And so we conform with those plans and sort of defer to them as well.
Thanks so much,
okay.
Kai.
Do I have any additional others?
We just question. Have another coming up, Kai. One more for you, Kai.
Okay. I was looking at the sea level rise inundation encroachment area, and I was just going to suggest that, or maybe it just, I need to expand on this. None of them completely avoid sea level rise inundation. And so is it all in the area of, or mostly in the area of Launiopoko, where it is not outside of that area? I mean, and maybe if you could clarify, is the blue, the light blue, is that the sea level rise inundation area on your map?
I do know that the EIS will look at the sea level rise area and various impacts there. Anything to add at all, Genevieve?
Yeah, so the light blue is the sea level rise inundation area, and all of the alternatives that, I guess if they're still in the inundation zone, another sort of mitigation measure would be to elevate the road there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Genevieve. Thanks for your questions and comments, Kai. Asia, do you have another question for us?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't want to take away from Kaya because she had some great questions that I would have echoed as well. But one question, I'm looking at the survey on here. Is it all or nothing with each alternative? So for example, and I'm not saying this is what I would recommend, but if you wanted to go Mauka and Ukamahame and then come Makai and Oluwalu to avoid the cultural sites, does the national highway standards, are these built and you've got to take that direction? I can't imagine why that would be the case, but is there a way to kind of combine some of the alternatives? Are you looking at that as well? Because they're two very separate areas. I mean, Oluwalu and Mahame, they're two different, I mean, fairly different issues between those two areas.
Appreciate that question. I do know there's some ability to create hybrid plans in the discussions we've had tonight. And from what I understand, I don't know if there's a further response to that. Yeah, I believe it is possible to look at those alternatives beyond 1 through 4. Is that correct, Genevieve?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, each of the alternatives does have to meet the ASHTO design standards. And I'm going to ask if Peter has any input on that question as well.
Hi, everyone. Yes, I think that's you're basically all on the right theme there, that if you look at the way the alternatives are laid out, they have some common points anyhow. So the ability to, I guess, use the phrase mix and match. So if there was an opportunity to take the best, you know, the most optimum scenario or lineup from one area and have it then be different in the next area, that would be a perfectly reasonable way to screen the alternatives leading towards the most optimal alternative.
Peter, Genevieve, hoping that does help address the latest comment. And Kai, your hand is up again. Go ahead.
So I know that very early on in the consultation process for the bypass by Cut Mountain, Tiare Lawrence and myself were both in attendance at that meeting. And we had a huge concern that the lands between the bypass and the low road, thoughtful consideration was not put in early on as to what the exact plan was. And so now, exactly the fears that we expressed at that meeting several years ago have come to fruition. And I know anyone who lives in West Maui, you drive by Cut Mountain and you see the disgusting, unsanitary condition of that property. And it is horrifying that nothing has been done to address that. And, you know, the state and the county kind of just basically point fingers at each other. And there's issues with like disposition and who has authority to do what in the area. But in the meantime, our community is left dealing with, I mean, my brother is a firefighter, and constantly they are being called for car fires and trash fires and all kinds of illegal drug activity, and it's a disaster. And so I would hate to see that happen. I mean, it's already actually happening all along the current highway. There's all the houseless and cars all along our shoreline and all in the bushes all along that area. And I just think that it needs to be a huge priority that consideration and a plan is in place before we just move the highway and just, you know, everyone goes on their merry way, because we can see what happened at Cut Mountain. And that cannot be allowed to proliferate. And I really do think that it was no one really taking Tiare and I seriously when we brought up that concern, you know, like everyone just kind of just like, oh yeah, don't worry about it, we'll figure it out. And now you can see it wasn't figured out. And now our community is left with this disastrous, disgusting mess that who's gonna clean it up? And our resources are being, you know, our fire department and police department are having to put resources into dealing with that situation that could have been avoided if a plan had been put in place to secure the area and work with organizations to make it a beautiful and welcoming area for our shoreline users. And now it's just like when I go to the beach or I ask my teenage children to join me at the beach, like they won't even come over there because they're scared their cars are going to get ripped off, or, you know, they're going to step in doo-doo, or, and it's just really gross. So I just hope that a more thoughtful approach is taken to address this. Thank you.
Thank you for your concerns, Kai. Genevieve, any response? Okay, thank you for your comments, Kai. Just checking the clock here. We're still, 10, 12 minutes before the hour. We do have a few hands up. Anybody dialing in, Nick, or others I should attend to? Otherwise, we'll come back to just one pause for Nick.
We've got two hands raised right now, Scott, but yes.
Okay, at the top then. Ja, go ahead.
Thanks again.
So I do wonder, you mentioned that the EIS would not address the abandoned highway, but I'm wondering why an environmental impact statement wouldn't address what's being left behind, because if the highway's moved, it doesn't just impact where the new highway is. It impacts what's being left. And like what Kai was saying is the impact of that area that's going to be left, Mackay, of the new highway. So is there a reason why that cannot be addressed in the EIS? I'm also along that, just the drainage and wetlands. I'm sure that you guys have provisions for addressing drainage issues and wetlands in the EIS, is that correct? So sorry, two questions again. And I think that's my last one.
No, thank you. Appreciate those two. So this position of any highway left behind by realignment, Genevieve, is the first question, and wetland and stormwater impacts. Can you kind of put those in context with the study or any further comment there?
I think I'm gonna pull Peter into this comment again here.
Thanks. I think the bottom line is you have raised an important question in a scoping meeting. And that is part of our job, is to take all of the input we get and the comments we receive from the public and from other government agencies. And so it essentially, just by bringing it up, is something that we will have to make sure we bring into the environmental assessment. Part of it may be explaining, you know, the a more detailed explanation of the pre and post condition and jurisdictional control and how plans might get implemented down in the future. But obviously, we will need to sort of take your concerns into the environmental assessment.
Very good. Thank you, Peter, again for your help with that question. So more to come. Certainly this is about scoping and we want to hear your concerns so that we can get the technical studies right and address comments. I think I've got a hand up. I'm going to go to Tiari.
Aloha, I just wanted to provide comment for the Oluwalu's area as a lineal descendant of that area. I'm really concerned about a big highway just impeding on Kawailoa Heiau and the petroglyphs. I just feel that all the other alternatives besides alternative A would just basically take away the, you know, when you're up there, it doesn't sit well with me that we're going to put a highway near these significant cultural sites that are very special. And so I know for myself and our family and Aha Moku and other Hawaiian organizations that we are very adamantly opposed to, you know, the Mauka preferred alignments. And so I just wanted to put that on record tonight.
Thank you for your comments. And I think the alternative A is equivalent to alternative one, but the concern for the Mauka side resources is a significant concern. I don't know if we have further comments, Genevieve or Pua, to address that concern. No. Thank you. I do have Kai. Go ahead and address the group.
Will you please, well, first I want to say that I fully advocate for the realignment of Honoa Pi'ilani Highway. It is sorely needed, and instead of temporary fixes, this is a long-term thoughtful approach to addressing sea level rise and coastal erosion in the area. And Tiari Lawrence and I had camped out at Oluwalu, and you know, many of the signs that we had when we were protesting against further shoreline hardening and revetments proposed in the area was to move the road. So I just wanted to know, I just wanted to let you folks know that I fully support the realignment. I just think that there are concerns that we need to address. And I wanted to know what and who will guide what ultimately is proposed in the EIS as the preferred alignment, because, you know, normally I understand that there are usually, you know, you start out with 7 or 8, you narrow it down to 2 or 3, and then what gets proposed to look at in the EIS is a few different alternatives. So I'm so sorry if that is on your website and I just didn't look at it, but could you explain a little bit about like what the process will be and who will guide ultimately what the preferred alignment proposal will be? And then I'd also like to volunteer Tiare and myself to be on any working groups or any kind of sessions that you have on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kai. Yes, I think there is quite a process lined up, and we do have our lead agencies, but I'm going to defer to you, Genevieve, to see if you'd like to expand on that, how we get from multiple alternatives to one and who then puts that forward and follows through.
Yeah, so that is a part of this meeting. We have in our NOI and our EISPN, along with the alternatives, we've laid out the kind of alternative screening methodology and the criteria. And so for each alternative, we ask questions like, does it reduce, you know, the vulnerability to the ocean hazards? Does it meet the ASHTO standards? Is it financially viable? Are the environmental impacts able to be mitigated? Does the alternative have the sufficient right-of-way width? Those are all questions that we will go through. And then, you know, if a concept kind of has a no answer to any of those questions and it does not meet the project purpose and need, that's how we start to remove them from further consideration. So as a part of this meeting, and in those documents, we laid that process out and we are basically soliciting input for that right now.
It's a little snapshot from today's slides to help explain the alternative analysis. Appreciate that, Genevieve.
And I just, one more thing on that is that a lot of, because we're at the early stages of this EIS, a lot of our technical studies and environmental studies have not yet been completed. So we're just kind of also introducing the topics that will be included in the EIS and trying to confirm with the community, with you folks, that we have the right topics there and to also suggest additional areas of evaluation.
Truly is a group effort, and that is why we're here tonight, to see that we get it right. Appreciate all of the comments and concerns in the panel's responses. I'm going to pause. I don't see a hand up, but I'm certainly
I guess I'll just add to what Genevieve said, that also ultimately it is the lead agencies that decide. But like Genevieve was saying, we look at the, if you look at the supplemental document to the NOI, that kind of lays out like what we'll be looking at to make the decision. And so right now we're taking input on, do you think other things should be looked at for the screening methodology? And the screening criteria.
Thank you, Lisa. So the lead agencies, Hawaii Department of Transportation, FHWA, do not do this alone. They have a lot of cooperating agencies, but they do carry the ball, so to speak, towards a decision in the alternatives analysis process. Very good. Thank you all. I am looking for any other hands up. I appreciate all of the time and the comments and the care that you're taking with this process. Appreciate each and every comment. It is treated equally, whether it comes in through this venue, through MetroQuest, by mail, or on the website. Any other comments or concerns? Okay, I'll just give you a glimpse of where we're heading next, and we'll take the next hand. Before we do wrap up, Asia, do you have another comment?
Just a quick question. Are the recordings of these webinars going to be available on the websites? And the other question is, the comments that were made tonight, do we need to put these in writing? Or are you guys taking notes enough that the comments made tonight and tomorrow in the in-person meeting and the earlier meeting, are those already taken in into consideration?
I think I can send this direct over to Nick. I think we're getting this all recorded for the record. And I think I would be not putting myself too far out to say that your comments tonight are duly recorded for the record. Nick, anything further on the recording and availability after tonight's webinar?
We are definitely recording all the comments that we received both this evening and at the earlier daytime session, whether those comments were given verbally or provided through the question and answer function. They're all part of the record, so we've got them all. And then in terms of, are there recordings available of the meetings, we do have recordings of both the English and Hawaiian language versions of the presentation and comment transcripts.
I'm assuming those will be on the website. Peter, I see you popping up there. Maybe you
want to talk about comments. Yeah, thank you. I was just going to say that if you feel like you wanted to submit written comments to, you know, if you felt that you, you know, the conversation was kind of going back and forth a little bit, and if you felt that you wanted to make sure that we had a continuous stream of your thoughts and your considerations, and you thought you could do that more clearly by submitting them writing, we'll be happy to accept those as well. And you know, it would be more your whether it's in your interest or you know you want to take the time to do that. But we definitely will essentially transcribe the comments and make sure that they're recorded and responded to in our assessment of the scoping process.
Thanks for that, Peter. So feel free to wrap up your thoughts and anticipate that these comments will go into the kind of the analysis of the depth and the breadth and the topical areas of the technical analysis in the IS. Okay, so if you have a thought, raise your hand. I'm going to start to transition, if I don't see one here, in the next 20 seconds towards closure. And I think once we pull the slides back up, if we don't have another hand in the air, I'm going to thank you all in advance and turn it over to you, Robin, for words of appreciation and closure.
Yeah, again, everybody, thank you for taking time out of your evening to join us tonight. I really appreciate all the comments that was given. You know, we still have one more in person, and it's a hybrid meeting, virtual also, tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. in Lahaina. So with that, you know, we look forward to working with everyone as we go through this process and finish up the environmental impact statement. So with that, we'll close the meeting.
Great. Yeah, just one clarifier, if I can, Robin, that the combination of meetings, all three, allow you to participate virtually, but that is an in-person only meeting tomorrow at Lahaina, but we sure appreciate it if you can make it out. Thanks, Robin. Thank panelists. Thanks, all of you. Mahalo, appreciate your comments tonight. That'll conclude the webinar. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening. Goodbye.